Hi listeners, Diego Villarreal here. We're back at it again with the Radioactive Podcast. And just like last week, we're here to share another feature story with y'all. And this week, again, I'm your host. In a bit, I'm going to chat with the creator of this fine, amazing, and wonderful piece, my friend and colleague of 6 weeks, Abai Stefanos. We haven't really chatted in a while, so we're just going to catch up a bit before today's feature plays. I've been really missing Abai's dry humor and his sarcastic jokes.
Hello?
Hey, Abai.
Hi, Diego.
So how have you been? Is there anything new going on now that you've started school?
Nah, just school.
And you're taking classes at Green River Community, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. Have you had a lot of time to skateboard and stuff like that since school?
Yeah, surprisingly, yeah. Like, at Green River, there's, like, a skate park right next to the school.
Oh, no way. That's really cool. Do a lot of people skateboard at your school?
Kinda. Like, it's usually empty, so it's pretty nice for me.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I mean, skateboards. You see them everywhere, right? And, like, sometimes even dogs are riding them, which is pretty funny if you think about it. And you've been skating since you were 11, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I can't wait to hear what insight you give us in your story. Should we listen?
Yeah.
Sounds good.
For me, I see a regular set of stairs or a bench at a local plaza and think of the tricks I want to do on them. I had to try this trick over and over, but that's how the session starts. I have to land this trick, and I'm not the only one who thinks that way. My friend Derek O'Neill is a skateboarder that I see every Friday when I'm at the skate park at Kent. While we were there, I asked him, why do you like to skateboard?
I'm a person who likes to learn, and like every time I learn something, it just gives me satisfaction. And when I learn a new trick, it just gives me a satisfaction that really I couldn't replace with anything else.
For skateboarders, the city is our playground, but many pedestrians don't see it that way. They see skateboards as the preferred transportation for troublemakers who skate down sidewalks and streets. That can be dangerous for them and others. There are laws specifying that skating street terrain is illegal because of the risk of injury.
I think that street skating is okay. I think it should be at a point where it's not illegal, but like at the same time, I can see how it's vandalism, but it's just like something I have to do. So yeah, I'm an outlaw. I'm a criminal. I'll say that.
However, the outlaw image doesn't fit all of us. In reality, all skateboarders are different. Personally, I only skate at the park. The beginnings of modern skateboarding occurred during the dawn of the Dogtown era, when surfers needed something to do when the tide was low. Back then, tricks were performed off curbs and pools that resembled waves that they surfed. I asked Derek, what's changed since then?
That is the toughest question you've given me. Okay, well, I would say that it's changed a lot and not at all at the same time.
Though skateboarders are constantly innovating new tricks and skateboards, they still stay true to the fact that there's no rules.
We all have like an urge that like just propels us just to like actually get out there no matter what anyone says. But like it's just you see like a ledge that you really want to skate even though it's out front of like a business, and you know that the business put that ledge there like because it's supposed to be like a bench or something. But like you just see it and you see like I have to skate. I don't care like what the consequences are.
Another thing that hasn't changed about skateboarding is that it takes one person to do it. The only limit is our creativity. Though it's a pretty social sport, at the end of the day, the only team to let down is yourself. Because of this, some skaters think the sport is not for everybody. Here's Camila Mendoza.
I think skateboarding is for people who have strong bodies and strong will. It takes a lot to get up after you eat, you know, crap.
Skateboarding takes a long time to get the basics, which makes it hard for people to join. That's why so many people quit after a year. Beginners at the skate park learn the tricks of the trade firsthand simply by being there and watching the pros.
I think we look like a bunch of insane people because we're just always talking like, oh, you see my back 5-0?
That's a trick where the skateboard slides on a ledge with only the back of the skateboard.
Oh yeah, that was cool, man. Like it's just like, I don't know, when they hear that, they just hear like mumbo jumbo jargon. But like it really does mean something. It just means like something that you accomplish and you just want to share with people. But other people that don't skate just don't understand it, and that's fine. I understand.
One big thing that's changed since the Dogtown era is that skateboarding has grown into a multi-billion dollar industry. These days, it's more about clothing and image than actual skateboarding. The real skateboarding community despises this. Here's what editor-in-chief of Thrasher magazine had to say about celebrities wearing Thrasher-branded clothing.
We don't send boxes to Justin Bieber or Rihanna or those clowns. The pavement is where the real stuff is.
blood and scabs. Does it get realer than that? The original quote had more colorful language. Here's the skateboarder's opinion of people who wear these brands and claim they play the sport, aka posers. Here's Camilo again.
Well, posers are people who are faking the funk. So if you fake anything, you're really untrue to yourself and what you stand for, so that's just a phony person. So in general, people don't really like phony people.
Skateboarding's popularity is growing, and this trend doesn't look like it's going away.
It's not something you can get rid of because it's an expression of individualism and things like that you can't get rid of.
I'm definitely not throwing away my skateboard anytime soon. For Radioactive, I'm Abel Stefanos.
Bye. I thought I knew a lot about skateboarding culture, but I guess I really didn't. I've got a few questions for you, so do you mind if I ask?
Sure.
All right. I know you skateboard, but what made you want to start?
Well, I was playing video games, and, like, I was and am still, like, a big, like, video game fan. And I was playing, like, this skateboarding video game. I forget what it was. And I was, like, in my head, like, wow, I want to learn, like, how to do this. And then I was like, but when am I going to do it? And then I was like, you know, now I don't have anything better to do. So I just walked downstairs, and I'm like, Dad, can I have a skateboard? And he's like, oh, sure. It all happened, like, within, like, an hour.
Oh, no way. Was it, like, that Tony Hawk skate game? Because I know I had that, and I loved it.
Yeah, that's what it was.
That's awesome. So, in comparison to, like, rollerblading and bicycling, what do you think makes skateboarding special?
Skateboarding is a little more free. It wasn't made, like, on purpose. It just kind of, like, turned into its own thing. Magically or whatever, I don't know.
Sounds pretty magical. Did you learn anything about skating that you didn't know before you made the story?
It sounded good to say yes, but no. I kind of just wanted to, like, let people into this world I already knew.
So, is there anyone you want to thank?
I'd like to thank Derek for doing the interview with me. And, I'd like to say thank you to my mentor, Angela Nguyen, and my editor, Carol Smith, because without them, like, I would have had, like, a crazy story. I could talk forever about skateboarding.
Well, I definitely think it turned out awesome. Thank you so much for letting me interview today.
Yeah, it was pretty fun.
I hope you have a good day.
All right, you too.
I'll talk to you soon, okay?
All right.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to this week's episode. Do you have any strong feelings about skateboarding? Go ahead and share them with us on Facebook at Radioactive Youth Media or on Instagram and Twitter at KUOW Radioactive. And if you really enjoy this podcast, go ahead and leave a review on iTunes, please. Don't forget, there are new stories every week. And if you enjoyed this one, set your timers for 168 hours or 10,080 minutes. Because next week we're going to be hearing a story about a world champion powerlifter who fell in love with the sport at the age of 58. Of course, the story will be accompanied by a personal conversation with the creator, just like what you heard today. I want to give a quick thanks to Alia Masaliar for her helping put this all together, to our editor Jenny Asarno, Abai for his awesome story, and to the rest of the Radioactive crew. Once again, Diego Virawal here, and I'll see you all next week.